I'm sure, that life imitates art. There are those, including the creators of the new University Medical Center, who believe that art can sustain life. Of course, we also need food to do that. And there is a way, according to local chefs and Liberty's Kitchen, to incorporate education and economic development into our life-sustaining dining. Furthermore, there are those as well who would have you believe that politics is another of life's sine qua non. And there is an election Saturday, but I'm not going to help put anybody into office today. I will, however, perhaps help you get to the polling place or anywhere else you might need to go. Lofty goals to accomplish in half an hour? But why not? This half hour is nothing less than all things New Orleans. Dirty Dozen brings us into another edition of your weekly news magazine. Hi, it's the very purposeful Jack Hopke here with you once again with your weekly entertainment and information magazine from WWN. I've got a great guest list for you. How's this just for a start? Great pleasure to welcome to WWNO and all things New Orleans, Susan Spicer.
Hi there.
Hi, how are you?
Great. Nice Good. To be back on my old campus.
Aha. Uh-huh.
My short-lived college career.
Why was it short-lived?
Because I had wanderlust.
Oh.
And I had to see the world.
Mm-hmm. So. Well, we're glad you came back.
Yes.
All of us who appreciate fine dining are glad you came back.
I've come back many times.
Well, stick around, okay?
Thanks.
Stick around. You're doing some very good work. You have always contributed very generously to charities. You help out Parkway Partners, I know, because that feast was with
That's
the stars
right.
thing.
A couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, we see each other from year to year. I was away this year, so I wasn't there. But now it's Liberty's Kitchen in the spotlight. Tell us what it is, Susan. This event's been going on for 5 years, but let's back up a little bit.
Well, Liberty's Kitchen is a great program that takes at-risk youth and kids that I guess wouldn't normally have a chance to go to culinary school, and it teaches them. It has a very holistic approach to how they teach them and develop their skills. They were a smaller organization. They were on further down on Broad, closer to the court building, and now they've moved into very beautiful new digs at further up on Broad Street in the Whole Foods building. Uh-huh. Which is closer between Bienville and Orleans, and it's a great facility. They actually run a coffee shop and a cafe. And so, you know, they're cooking and they have their kids working, doing service as well as, you know, providing the food. But, you know, I went for a tour there really pretty recently, and I walked through every part of it and I walked into various classes, and they start by talking about everything. You know, they talk about body language. They talk about character. What is character? They were talking about a lot of things, you know, how you present yourself, you know, to potential employers, to your coworkers, to your instructors. And, you know, it was really a nice approach. And I know that, you know, they have, you know, great instructors. They work with pretty small groups. They do a lot of hands-on, you know, and I'm going to get my chefs and sous chefs involved in going there and doing some hands-on things. But what I like is when they go to the restaurants, when they send their kids out to the restaurants, they continue the support. They, you know, they provide, they help help them find daycare. They help them, you know, find transportation. It's a really great, has a real family feel, and any difficulties that they're experiencing, they can come back. And I just got the impression that everybody there, you know, really bonds, and that it's an ongoing support system. And I think that's really important.
Yeah, and it's, I guess from what you're saying, not only do they have their own facility there, the cafe, but it's a feeder program into local restaurants, and I guess restaurants anywhere, wherever.
Yeah,
so these
absolutely.
Kids have to, they have to prove competence, prove competency, and then they can move on into the professional world.
Right. And then, you know, goodness knows with all the restaurants opening and you know, the proliferation.
I can't keep up with it.
I know. New things in every neighborhood. But, you know, there's a real need. So it's great because it's providing a service and, you know, to the community as well as the restaurant community. And, you know, I was really impressed. I was, you know, I'm really excited to, you know, I've worked with a couple of, you know, externs or former students before, and I know they've gone on to do really good things, and look forward to having more and to being more involved with Liberty's Kitchen.
I'll ask almost as an aside, have you been able to use anybody at your places?
Yeah, we've had a couple of, you know, the students at Biona.
Uh-huh.
And they, as I said, they've, you know, they've come through and worked there for a while and then gone on to, you know, to working in other, you know, very good restaurants and doing really well.
I would think that you've put a number of people through your place. Now, haven't you recently celebrated a 25th anniversary?
We did at Biona.
Congratulations.
Yes, we're now well into our 26th year. So
second quarter century.
Getting ready to, you know, do our 26th Thanksgiving. You know, at Biona, we're always open for Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I'm on the mailing list. I see about all. I see all those special events.
Well, in fact, even after Katrina, you know, my big goal was to get back and be open for Thanksgiving. So we've never missed one. So it was good. We opened a week prior to. So
that's right. It's coming up.
It is coming
up.
And
we've got another event coming up even before that that involves a lot of good food. Involves yourself.
That's right. And it's going to be on October 30th, I believe.
Right. Tell us about this fundraiser, the Chef's Challenge. It's called. Right?
Well, I'm not really sure what, you know.
Oh no, the Chef's Showdown.
Chef's Showdown, which I guess maybe they might have, you know, the people that come. Yeah, it's going to take place at the main library, which I think is kind of exciting because. I'm actually also a big library fan, and you know, I go to my library out on Canal and Harrison all the time. But you know, I'm a big lover of the New Orleans Public Library and supporter. And so that's where we're going to have the Liberty's Kitchen fundraiser, and there's going to be a bunch of different restaurants doing great food. We're doing we're going to do something called a croque senior.
So, not a monsieur, not a croque madame?
No, it'll be a croque senior. We just decided we would do it with, you know, manchego cheese and good Spanish ingredients, you know. So,
everybody else, and the lineup of people can check this out. The lineup of restaurants is most impressive, I think. This is a big-time event that we have going on. What's the showdown aspect of this? Is this some sort of
competitive thing? I'm not sure if it's going to be if people are going to vote on the like fan favorite, or you know, if they're going to taste everything and cast their vote for their favorite event, or if they're going to be having demos or something of that nature.
And it also involves other elements besides food. There's a silent auction, I understand, with some pretty fabulous.
Those are always fun. I always bid on something at those things.
Yeah. Vacations. And
it's not supposed to be a bargain. People always want to go and get a bargain at these silent auctions. I think everybody has to remember that.
It's a fundraiser.
It's a fundraiser. So you're supposed to really, you know, be generous.
Music as well. Three fine acts, I understand. And Susan Spicer and other star chefs and some new restaurants as well.
That's
are going to be involved. Sure.
Get those new restaurants out there.
Yeah, it's a fresh scene. We're talking with Susan Spicer here on All Things New Orleans about the Liberty's Kitchen fundraiser called the Chef Showdown.
Mm.
And we thank you very much
for a challenge.
Spending a little time.
My pleasure.
I forgot to bring my book so you could autograph it for me. That book is wonderful, by the way, your cookbook.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Thanks.
That's a good book, and I love using it.
Gotta get working on a new one of these days.
All right, well, I'll bring it to Bayona.
All right. Well, I'll see you later, Jack. Bring that book to Bayona or Mondo.
Okay. The Liberty's Kitchen Chef Showdown takes place a week from tomorrow. Tickets are available at libertieskitchen.org. And this is All Things New Orleans. Jack Hupke with you for WWNO. I mentioned politics in the introduction to the program. Of course, on every level, we've been hearing about it lately. And we're going to focus in on two transportation amendments that are on this Saturday's ballot. Amendments 1 and 2 would allow existing state revenues to be used for new roads and bridges and repair existing ones without creating new taxes. We brought Lane Kaplan Levinson to the program today.
It's pretty safe to say that no one is against better roads, bridges, and other infrastructure. How to fund it is the issue. Amendment 1 would allow oil and gas revenue from the state's rainy day fund to be used for transportation projects. Amendment 2 would fill up something called a state infrastructure bank. Greater New Orleans, Inc. CEO Michael Hecht says there's no question that funding for this stuff should be a priority.
I think that the public, and particularly the business community, has come to realize that just as much as having an adequate and well-trained workforce is critical to future growth, having an adequate and well-funded infrastructure is equally important.
We met at New Orleans Airport. Its new terminal is slated to open in 2017. Hecht says travelers and workers will need to be able to get to it more easily.
But we're going to need a flyover from I-10 to actually get people to the airport without having to drop down on Veterans Boulevard. And then, of course, you get to what people want for new structures. Locally, we have a lot of talk now about light rail. For example, as we have an improved airport coming online, how are folks going to get there from places like downtown New Orleans?
GNO Inc. isn't taking a stance on Amendment 1, the oil and gas funding, but Hex Group is supporting Amendment 2. That would authorize funds for Louisiana's infrastructure bank. Hecht says other states like Texas and Virginia have had success with this. It's a place to put money that's currently idle and make it available as loans.
Well, right now, it's a bucket looking to be filled up. And so this is about how we can start filling up the bucket by getting an appropriation that the treasurer could then help allocate to local parishes.
Hecht says Amendment 2, for example, could provide a loan to the city of Kenner to build airport roads. Both Amendments 1 and 2 specify that funds be used only for transportation. For WWNO, I'm Lane Kaplan-Levinson.
We here at WWNO hope you're all registered and ready to go do it if you haven't done it already during early voting. Halloween coming up in about a week, but, you know, there's something else that's been pretty scary for a while already. PACs. There are lots of them. They seem to have a lot of money. Millions of dollars are pouring in from political action committees. And we're not even talking about a national race. We're talking about the Louisiana State School Board election. WWNO's Mallory Falk with us today.
Former New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg contributed $800,000 to the Super PAC Empower Louisiana. Walmart heirs Jim and Alice Walton kicked in $400,000. Why are big out-of-town donors involved in the race for state school board? Because Louisiana is the model for reforms, like charter schools and using standardized test data to rate schools and teachers. For power players who want those reforms to grow nationally, Louisiana is the proving ground. Luis Moran directs the Institute for Quality and Equity in Education at Loyola University.
It's pretty clear that there will be some contest over the whole question of which direction the state as a whole has undertaken.
Most members of the Louisiana Board of Elementary and Secondary Education, or BESSE, favor current reforms, including the Common Core. But that could change. All 11 seats are up for grabs, 8 on the ballot, 3 to be appointed by the new governor.
So on one side, you have the reform movement advocates.
Backed by the big donors. These include New Orleans incumbents, Attorney James Garvey from District 1 and Kira Orange Jones from District 2. She's executive director of Teach for America, Louisiana. On the other side, candidates who say the current reforms aren't the solution, like former teacher Lee Berrios from District 1 and Principal Cara Washington from District 2. They want more school funding and certified teachers and less focus on one standardized test. Luis Moran says other school districts might pay attention to the board's stance on charter schools.
There is serious doubts as to whether this model can be grown nationally. If the majority of the school board members who are elected decided to go full throttle against school or universal choice, that's not going to bode well for scaling up that model beyond New Orleans. Maybe I could use the analogy of a traffic light. So if the board turns against the reform ideologies, then I would believe in New Orleans and there's a caution.
A yellow light for other cities and states signaled by this local election. For WWNO, I'm Mallory Falk.
There is so much going on this time of year amidst all things New Orleans and environs. Yes. Highlighting what we can within our weekly half hour, it's All Things New Orleans. I'm Jack Hopke here at WWNO. Glad to have you listening to your weekly news and features magazine program. And to have you contributing. You know, you can always write to me at jhopke@uno.edu. Tell us what you think about what we're doing and what you want to hear on the program. This is, after all, your public radio station. Now, the University Medical Center in New Orleans is a big place. It's got more than 2 million square feet of constructed space. And before Stacy Cerro arrived, the walls were just painted drywall. So to liven up the place, she and a small team went on a statewide hunt for local art, collecting enough pieces to display every 10 feet in the hospital. And Stacy spoke with NOLAV's Renee Peck about collecting more than 4,000 artworks in less than 5 months.
It actually was probably a lot easier than you think. There are so many fabulous artists in the state that made our job so much easier when we came to looking at what would work and what wouldn't. There were, in the beginning, names and names of artists that we went to because I just knew them from previous projects. But from there, we scoured the internet. We looked at Louisiana Watercolor Society and Louisiana Surrealist Society, all these different societies that I didn't even know existed, and picked names from them and started to meet with the artists. And then once we met with them and we saw their work, it was easy to know what was going to work and what wasn't. And then the network of artists throughout the state is such a fine network, and they started to spread the word, and artists started to come to us.
Did you dig through people's basements and garages and attics to find things? How did you go about that?
We were everywhere from Houma to Shreveport. And when we would meet an artist, they would say, well, I have some things that I'm not sure. I would say, don't even think that it's not possible. Anything's possible. Just let me see it. And I would start digging through flat files of old artwork, through portfolios of things. And some of it was some of their original work. And if it just spoke to me, everything was possible. Anything could be an option. So I had to convince some artists not to rule anything out. So the artwork that we chose, in large part, is soothing, is interesting. A piece of art, to me, is something that calls you back, that you look at, and everything's not answered right away. You want to go back and look at it again. That encompasses a lot of different things, and some contemporary, some abstract, some realistic. It really can run the gamut.
And I think the artists were on board wanting to be part of this project because it gave them public awareness of their work in a way that maybe other things don't.
Yes, and they wanted to be a part of the project. As the word started to spread, it became evident, I think, to everyone that we were doing it differently. We weren't mass producing items. There's not one item duplicated in the entire facility. And that to them meant a lot. They understood that we were celebrating the artists of Louisiana. That was always my point. And once they realized that this was real and that the things that we were saying really were true, they all jumped on board. And in order to do that, in a lot of cases, they had to reduce their prices for us. In some cases, we would go to the artist and say, I understand the budget's really low. I understand it's much less than what you typically charge for your pieces. But we have some areas where we need 50 or 60 items for, say, patient rooms. And we'll give you that 60, let you do it however you want to do it, test something new, test some new technique, and in return, can you give us it for this reduced price? And almost every single one of them that we asked agreed to do that.
Evidently, lots of people are coming to see the art.
It's been quite interesting to see how quickly the word spread through the community. We started this project in February, so it was a very quick process. We didn't have time to think about what the buzz might be. We were in there installing the last of the Sean O'Mealy balloons in the cafeteria area, and I turned around and there was a group of adults behind me, and they didn't look like they were coming for medical reasons. They were just standing there very nicely dressed. And I turned around again. I asked if I could help. And the lady said very excitedly, we're here to see the art. Where do we start? So I said, you found the right person. And I directed them to specific areas of the hospital, sort of gave them a path to take.
Are people allowed to come in and see the art? And how do they know what's where?
They are absolutely welcome to come to the facility, to come to see the art. And we still are in the works of getting a few things organized for that reason. There has been a lot of people questioning us to get a tour together, maybe a self-guided tour. That is still at the infancy stage, but hopefully we can get to that point so people really can get into it and really be able to see what's out there.
Each floor and building within the University Medical Center has a variation on the exhibit's main theme, which is Louisiana, the melting pot. You can read Renee Peck's report on the exhibit at nolav.com. Jack Hopke here for All Things New Orleans. I started this program by talking about life-sustaining matters. For me, one of those is music. I heard some of the world's best classical music last evening at Tulane, and that same campus is hosting some great jazz tonight. So I thought I'd share with you some music by the young guitarist who's appearing there later today. Here on All Things New Orleans is Mike Marino. Thank you. That is Mike Marino, appearing tonight at The Rat at Tulane. This program is a production of WWNO News. Thanks to Thomas Walsh, Lane Kaplan-Levinson, and Mallory Falk. Well, last night I wanted to hear not only the brilliant Pacifica Quartet, but I also wanted not to miss Nicholas Payton at the Sandbar, Matt Pond PA at the House of Blues, or the Psycho Sisters at Chickiwawa. And this sort of frustration goes on night after night, festival after festival, event after event. But health, finance, and job concerns, however, do not allow for indulgence on weeknight after weeknight in this here town. And the people who book these events are not going to consult me about scheduling. Some government theorists say that restricting choice limits frustration and streamlines life. I, on the other hand, want all things New Orleans. WWNO New Orleans, KTLN Thibodeau, Houma, WWNO.org.